Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for our series in the book of Galatians on the fruit of the Spirit, the tangible evidence of God's presence in our lives. You can find us every Sunday morning at the Village on Casino Road at 10:30 a.m. or visit us on our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading, and enjoy today's podcast.
Good morning, South Everett Foursquare. Get ready to worship the Lord this morning. We're gonna leave it all here, time for worship, and give our hearts, our worries, our decisions, everything to the Lord this morning. To our God, He's here this morning.
Search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Proverbs 3 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your necks. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight."
Amen.
Everything flows from the heart.
Yes.
The importance of guarding it, because it can be deceitful. And this morning we remind ourselves the importance of submitting our hearts to Him. In seasons when we're left making difficult choices or life-changing decisions, you know, are we looking for what our heart tells us under our own understanding and our own knowledge? Or are we seeking the Lord for wisdom and guidance? through prayer and through the scripture. It's so easy to lead our decisions by what we feel or what we think is right, forgetting that our hearts can be deceitful. So let's leave our hearts in the hands of the one who doesn't deceive us ever, and the one who stitched us together, the one who created us. Like this next song that says, he is the anchor in the waves, the ransom for our lives. There's no reason why we should not trust him with our hearts. We're incapable of doing it on our own, so we need the Lord.
To think and gaze upon Jesus. Just where you're sitting, gaze upon him. I want you to imagine that you have seen Jesus in person. Imagine that he has made a very purposeful visit to your place of work on a busy day. And more than just employment, this place of work is really the place where you're making a meaningful contribution to the world around you. So if that's in the home, if that's in school, if that's somewhere where you glean a paycheck or volunteer with your whole heart, the Lord has come and Jesus has come to visit you in this space. And I want you to imagine there in your place of contribution that he is calling you by name, that he has called you by name. Imagine the Lord recalibrating your purpose, realigning it, refitting it for something of even greater eternal significance. I want you to imagine walking with Jesus in stride. I want you to imagine witnessing miracles. I want you to imagine listening to a new perspective on the Creator and the kingdom of heaven. Just imagine God in the flesh, God with you, physically, audibly, tangibly, present with you. What's that like if Jesus was in the flesh with us, if he inhabited not only by his spirit, but by his physical presence? How would that impact our days? How would that impact the confidence that we have in the calling that he's placed upon our lives? How would it impact the way that we spend our time? How would it impact the way that we spend our money? What influence would it have on our thoughts if Jesus was present in the flesh? How would it impact the nature of our conversations? Just imagine, Jesus is with you. He's with us. He calls us by name. He visits us in the places that we go each day. That really would be something, wouldn't it? Just imagine the daily physical presence of Jesus as a reality in your life, in your home, with your closest friends and with your family, on the street where you live, at the store, at the park, in your school or place of work. Imagine your life
like this for 3 whole years. Then imagine God sitting down with you for dinner on a Thursday evening, being in that level of proximity with the one who created everything. Imagine God in the flesh telling you that he's going away to prepare a place for you. He's been that close. He's been with you every day. And now after 3 years, he's making this declaration that he's going away to prepare a place. He tells you he's coming back, but he also tells you that he's going away for a while. Imagine how alarming that might be. You've been walking in step with the Savior, and now he says he's going away. But then listen with fresh ears to John 14. If you love me, Jesus says to his disciples as he sits at the table at the Last Supper, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And the one we've walked with in step in every aspect of our life then says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Do you see the triune nature of this God? That the Son loves the Father, and the Father loves the Son, and we are loved by the Father and the Son. If you love me, you will keep my commands. I'm going to send you the Spirit, by the way. Because God is triune in nature, Father, Son, and Spirit. We are invited up into, by the power of the Spirit, the community of heaven. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father who sent me. All this was spoken while he was still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Our flesh, and this is a conversation now as we enter into a 9-week series on the fruit of the Spirit, which is born of the letter of Galatians, which is really about a battle between our flesh and our spirit. Our flesh, the part of us that is flesh, does not know that we need the Spirit like the earliest disciples knew they needed the Spirit. Why? Because they experienced Jesus in the flesh. They could be living in the flesh and still experiencing the full presence of Jesus in a way that we didn't quite experience, but they did. We have the words of John, the one who uttered, that whom we have touched, whom we have seen with our eyes, whom we have heard, this we proclaim to you, the fullness of life. There was this longing, this deep, deep longing, that they would know, that we would know the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they had Jesus in the flesh and they had Jesus in the Spirit. The question becomes, why do we need the Holy Spirit? This is going to be our focus for the next 9 weeks as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. Why do we need the Spirit? Because our flesh wants us to forget the power and the love that is available to us today in God. That's why we need the Spirit, because the flesh wants us to forget. Do you find yourself in that dichotomy, in that tension sometimes, where you wake up in the morning and you dedicate your day to the Lord, and by 3 p.m. you're back in the flesh again? It's this real battle that takes place in the spiritual realm. We need the Holy Spirit because our flesh wants us to forget that the power of God is available to us by His Spirit. We have to remember again and again. Why do we need the Spirit? Because the flesh wants us to forget about God.
That's right.
So we began this year with a study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to conclude this year with a study on the fruit of the Spirit. So it begs another question. What's the difference between the gifts and the fruit? There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember, if you go back to January and February, and we looked at Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, and we learned about the gifts of the Spirit, prophesying and serving and teaching and exhorting and giving and leading and showing mercy. And we learned about words of wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecy and discernment and tongues and interpretation and administration and help. And we know that the Lord gives us identities, that we are apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds. These are the gifts of the Spirit. But then there is the fruit of the Spirit. From Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's the gifts of the Spirit, and there's the fruit of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are about power. The fruit of the Spirit is about character. You ever seen someone get a hold of power that had no character? You ever seen someone with character that had no power?
Yeah.
A good-hearted believer in Jesus that forgets that the Spirit has power that we don't have? Pastor David Kwan talked about that this summer when he addressed intimacy with God in prayer. He talked about how having power without love, there's a whole lot of nations in the world that are causing great trouble in the world because they have dictators who are in love with power but not with love. But if we have love and don't call on the power of the Spirit, what do we have then? We have the good works of the flesh. We have social do-gooders. Social do-gooders aren't bad, right? People that just say, just give them bread and give them food and give them housing and everything will be fine. Yes, we need all that. That kind of love expression is good, but we also need eternal hope. We need eternal love. We need both. We need love and we need power. We need power and we need character. So the gifts of the Spirit are power. The fruit of the Spirit is character and love. This is the nuts and bolts of Galatians. We can't add anything to the gospel in a way that produces kingdom outcomes as individuals apart from God. We cannot add anything to the gospel. The letter of Galatians was written because people were trying to add things to the gospel. Like Jesus and his resurrection and his love for you plus good works. Or plus knowledge, or plus additional sacrifice. No, it's just Jesus and his death and his resurrection. That's all it is. We can't add anything to the gospel in a way that produces kingdom outcomes. We know from James that every good and perfect gift comes from him. The gifts come from him, not me, right? I receive them, I don't create them. When the good gifts of the Father, which are the spiritual gifts, are reflected through our lives, that which is produced is known as the fruit of the Spirit. Those good works in us, when stewarded and submitted to him, produce good character. And that the foundation of that is love. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because the flesh wants us to forget that God is love. And so we have the gifts of the Spirit, which produce the fruit of the Spirit. The question then, the practical question for us is, how do I daily submit my life to the work of the Holy Spirit while living in a body which will always seek to satisfy and gratify itself? Called to live by the Spirit, and yet I'm in this body, this temporary body that is constantly going to demand that I put me first. So I have to invite the Holy Spirit to put God first and everything that comes from that. This is a battle. It's a physical battle. This flesh is a physical battle. There's desire and instant gratification. It's a mental and emotional battle because of pride, ego. I want to put myself first. It's a relational battle because I want to be selfish and I will get what I want. And it's a physical, mental, emotional, and relational battle because ultimately all of it is a spiritual battle. It is all a spiritual battle, and it manifests what's in the Spirit, manifests itself in the flesh. And so we have physical desires, we have emotional desires, relational desires. And so we turn to his word, where we will find ourselves camped out as our anchor text for the next 9 weeks in Galatians 5. For the purposes of today, we'll begin in verse 13 through verse 25. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church. in Galatia. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Don't forget, you were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. There's this curriculum, this teaching we've been working through called Unique. And there's an idea about freedom and Unique that I want to share because it helps me. The idea is this, is that freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do. Freedom is the capability of becoming who God created you to be. There's a lot of messed up ideas about freedom right now. It doesn't mean you can just do whatever. It means that you're free to be who God already imagined that you would be. So Paul says it, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Oh, would that be a word for our country, for our world in 2023? If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law said, add all these things to the gospel to be saved. You're not under that. You're free in Jesus to do and be who he called you to be. And so if anyone was curious, they just laid out, Paul lays out the acts of the flesh. He says they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I love this. Against such things, there is no law. There's no law against any of that stuff. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the fruit of the Spirit. But do you feel the tension because they're in conflict with each other? Day in and day out. Moment in and moment out, the flesh and the Spirit, because there's a war, because the enemy wants the flesh to forget that God has given us the Spirit. That's why we need the Spirit. And so what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, along with the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is the tangible evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is the tangible evidence. How can we feel it and touch it and know it? Just like John said, I just wish you could have seen him. I wish you could have walked with him. I wish you could have touched him and heard his voice. Again, go back to the beginning. Imagine how our lives would be different if we'd had that kind of interactions with God in the flesh like the disciples did. It would be incredible, but we can imagine because it's the same God who's with us by his Spirit, even though he isn't with us in the flesh. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he said to the disciples, but don't worry, I'm going to leave you the Spirit, and the Spirit will lead you in righteousness. We have the full authority of Jesus in his presence through the power of his Spirit. If I believe that Jesus is present with me in my car, if I believe that he's present with me in my workplace, if I believe that he's present with me when I feel alone, guess what? I'm not alone. The fruit of the Spirit, along with the gifts of the Spirit, is the tangible evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is our second baptism. What was our first baptism? Water baptism. Who modeled that for us? Jesus and John. Thank you. Water baptism is our public proclamation of an internal declaration. Amen. That's the fancy way of saying it to get your pastoral credentials. If you ever want to do that, you'll probably have to answer that question. That's water baptism. That's the indication that Jesus has come and taken up residence in me by the power of his Spirit. Step one. The problem is the church gets stinky when we stop with step one. More study, more knowledge, more righteousness, more holiness in public. Jesus came because people stopped with step one. He said there needs to be an outlet for this. There needs to be an outlet for this. The Holy Spirit baptism, it's the expression of a desire to say, Lord, now that you've taken up residence in me, I want your presence and power to flow forth from my life like living water. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized in the Spirit and we're done just receiving, then we need to give, but we can't give what's powerful without good character. And the Spirit gives us both. He gives us both. When we want the outpouring of the Spirit, we get the gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy and serving and words of knowledge and speaking in tongues and evangelism and shepherding and helps. But it has to come with good character, right? We want his power to flow like living water. When we ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're just saying, God, I want you to pour out of my life now. Jesus modeled water baptism, right? He did that in the River Jordan with his cousin John. And he was baptized, not because he had sin to take care of, but because he was setting an example for us. When he was baptized, we saw the dove come and the voice of the Father saying, well done, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. We see the power and the presence of the triune God in that moment. So Jesus modeled with water baptism, and then in his ministry, he would allude to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He would do so privately, and then he'd do it publicly. Remember, we have the whole story. At that point yet, nobody knows about Pentecost, because Jesus is walking around, everyone's trying to figure out who he is still. Privately, in John chapter 4, Jesus had a conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well. There's a picture up here of where Jesus would spend a lot of time, the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum, and where he's from up here, Nazareth, and then down here, Jerusalem, where he'd die on the cross and rise again, and then right here is Samaria. This is the part in the middle. This is the part of the country that the Jews would go around because they didn't like the people who lived there because they were half-breeds. They were half-Jewish and half-mixed up with some people that they fell in love with when they were in captivity, and people despised the Samaritans because it reminded them of their own sin. And so the Jews would walk all the way around Samaria through more dangerous lands just so they didn't have to deal with people who they had racist intent towards in their hearts. But Jesus walked through the middle of Samaria, and he met a woman at the well. And so not only did you not talk to Samaritans, you didn't talk to a woman or a woman Samaritan at the well in the middle of the day, but Jesus did that. So he's in the middle of Samaria, in the middle of the town, at the well, in the middle of the day, having a conversation with this woman. And while they were physically drawing water from a well to address a physical thirst, Jesus said this to the woman in the midst of conversation. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. That's a private conversation. Jesus is alluding to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Publicly in John 7, we find Jesus no longer in Samaria, but back down there in Jerusalem for one of the three major feasts, the Feast of the Tabernacles. All the Jewish people were there, celebrating the faithfulness of God during the time that they were in the desert. The streets of Jerusalem were packed with Jewish people from all over the Roman Empire. And then it says in John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within them." The fruit of the Spirit is the tangible evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does fruit need to grow? What do plants need to grow? They need water. What else? Sunlight. What else? Soil. There's one more thing a plant needs, and it's not even part of the plant. It needs a pot, right? What's the pot need?
Drainage.
What happens if you plant a good plant with good soil, with good water, and good sunlight, and good oxygen, in a pot with no hole in the bottom of it?
Root rot.
Root rot! Jesus came to address his people, the Jewish people, who were stinking with root rot. And it smells bad too. Right?
You get gnats.
You ever like mow your lawn on a hot day and throw it in the bin 6 days before the bin gets dumped? It's enough to make you puke. Every healthy believer needs to be filled and emptied and filled and emptied. If we keep it all for ourselves, we become unbearable, stenchy, make you want to puke kind of people. Why do we need the presence and the power of the Spirit? Because the flesh wants to keep it all for itself. The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, are the outlet. It's what each of us needs every day to remember. See, because we serve a Father who gives good gifts, those gifts are not meant to be hoarded. They are meant to be shared. Discipleship really is, as we grow as disciples, is really less about receiving for our own benefit from community, but it's about receiving for the good of the community. Real discipleship, real freedom is found in giving away everything that we have received, because we can't outgive the one who gives to us. If we give away everything that we have, God will continue to give it to us as long as we continue to give it away. Again, Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. Lord, help us today by the power of your Spirit in the midst of the conflict. But if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. It says the acts of the flesh are obvious. We've talked about those things. I don't want to dwell on those things, but I prefer to dwell on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And against such thing, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking each other and envying each other. The fruit of the Spirit is the tangible evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the outpouring of spiritual gifts in the fruit of the Spirit. Without the Spirit-filled love of Jesus and the Spirit, the flesh will always have its way. As we are filled and baptized in the power of the Spirit, we are invited to submit our humanity to the Lord over and over and over again.
Amen.
I want us to read 1 Corinthians 13. But so interesting where 1 Corinthians 13 falls. Mathematically, chronologically, it falls between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, Emily. 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, did you know that? It's between those two. 1 Corinthians 12 is all about the gifts. It's the menu of gifts that are made available to us. 1 Corinthians 14 is how to practice those gifts in right order. In 1 Corinthians 13, right in between the gifts and the declaration and the practice of the gifts, is all about love. Because if love isn't at the middle of the gifts we've been given, there's no character connected with the power, and everything goes sideways.
That's true.
It's no coincidence that Paul wrote about love in the center of the power and the execution of the power. Here's your bomb. Here's the detonation device. There's power. Be careful with it. Let it rest on a foundation of love. 1 Corinthians 13. Beginning with the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. Paul says, if I speak in the tongue of men or angels, which is a spiritual gift, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and I have faith. Do you hear him ticking the gifts off? If I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I might boast, and Paul had a reason, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Do you hear what he's saying? The gifts will be here, but then they won't be at some point. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, when we're with our King eternal, when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. For I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The Apostle John, in his first letter to the church in Ephesus, made this declaration in chapter 4 that God is love. He's saying theos is agape. Theos is the word for God. It's the word for triune God. It's the word that encompasses Father, Son, and Spirit. Theos is agape. Agape is this deep, deep, self-sacrificial kind of love. It's not a familiar kind of, nostalgic kind of love. It's not a brotherly love. It's not a deep, romantic kind of love. It's agape love. It's self-sacrificing love. Theos is agape. Agape is theos. God is love. Love is God. My friend Chris Manginelli, we were in conversation about this series, and this is something he said. He said, love is the mountain spring from which everything else flows. All the life, details, and evidence of God comes from love, because the greatest of all things is love. If we find ourselves experiencing a deficit of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control, the missing ingredient is love. If we're missing joy, it's not double down on joy, it's return to love. If we're missing peace, it's not double down on peace, it's return to love. If we can't stay controlled, let's not try to stay controlled by ourselves, let's go back to love. Love is the foundation, because God is love. So these are pastors in our district. These are folks that I spend time with. Clearly, I hike with some of them. But these are guys that I hang out with, and every quarter we get together to just talk about life. And I'm so glad we're part of a network that doesn't brag about size of congregations or how much money or how much this or that or show or glitz or glamour. And so we're going around in the room, and one of the pastors in that circle, and there's about six more than this even, shared the other day, I'm having fun in the ministry, which is such a huge win right now for pastors, because for a while it just was not fun through COVID. Not fun. But now it's fun. And he goes, I am having fun in the ministry again. I'm like, hallelujah, so am I. He said, but you know what? I'm feeling a little distant from Jesus. And I said, me too. And it resonated with me. And it just gave me this prompting to return to love again. To just go back to, we can... Even Jesus says it to the church at Ephesus. You've done all these great things. You've endured hardship. You've loved people well. But the thing is, you've forgotten your first love. Come back to me. Come back to Jesus. It's so easy sometimes to love doing the work of Jesus. Amen? But this pastor said at the end of the day, after loving people and hanging out and spending time with them, I just go home and I just watch a game or I just scroll. And that's fine, some of that. But I just would rather do that than spend time with Jesus. He confesses to a room full of pastors. And I'm like, thank you for that. Because I have felt the same a little bit. And so we texted back and forth for a number of days. And I had him hold me accountable to like getting up again in the morning and just remembering that Jesus is as present by his spirit that he was with the disciples when he was physically present with them. Does that make sense? He's still that present. He's still that with us. And so I just sat with him a few mornings this week, and it was all I could do to kind of like lay my head on the word and just kind of like, well, I'm here, Lord. I don't have much to offer you, but I'm here right now. You ever feel that way? You just show up and you're just like, I'm just here. I've got nothing to offer you. And I heard the Lord say to me, Chris, you're tired. You've been busy in my name, extending love to those in crisis, investing in your family and building leaders. Come rest with me. Let me carry my church, he said. Just be with me. Your own strength will not sustain you. Sit with me. Unload your heavy burden. Your responsibilities concerning the stewardship of my love begins by receiving my love. You cannot give that which you have not first received.
Amen.
So the question becomes then, as we head into the series, how do I daily submit my life to the work of the Holy Spirit while living in a body that will always seek to satisfy the flesh? Every morning we get up daily, I surrender, we give it back to him. It's a battle. But I begin with love by remembering I am loved by God because God is love. So what I want us to do, we're going to take a few minutes and do small groups. But what I want you to do is just hear this song, because the Lord, I was just listening and I heard the song in a different way this week, because it gave me an opportunity to consider who I am in his presence and to let him speak that over me. So what I want you to do.
White lies and desperation, hard times in conversations, no one should ever love me like you do. Sometimes my bad decisions define my false suspicions, and no one should ever love me like you do. While I'm on this road, you take my hand. Somehow you really love who I really am. I push you away, still you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
To be loved by you.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
Last night, confidence was shaking, my wounds and my past was saying, no one should ever love me like you do.
Who am I? Who am I?
ask for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit today. Not so that we can boast or yield power or authority over others, but that we might take up the posture of a servant and love well. God, but we cannot give what we have not yet first received. And Lord, we repent of the times that we tried, even this week, to love out of our own strength, to serve out of our own strength, to prophesy out of our own strength, to do whatever it was out of our own strength. God, it begins with you and it begins with love. Love is the foundation. You are love. And so, Lord, we ask this question, who are we to be loved by you? And in so doing, God, we pray that it would drive us further and further deeper into your arms, into your care, into your abiding presence, that we might rest. And then from that space, give out of the overflow of what you've first invested in us, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would be upon us freshly today as we spend the next 2 months investigating the character that makes up the good foundation for the gifts and the power you have given us. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name.